Don't you know? Sorry, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you, in your midst?
So we are God's temple. Agreed, right? It's like, don't we know? Yeah, I just wanted us to establish that you and I are God's temple before we proceed. So having read that, thank you very much, June. Let's read, let's now read the Acts 7 from verse 48 to 53.
However, the Most High God does not live in temples made by human hands, as the prophet said. Heaven is my throne room, and the earth is but a footstool for my feet.
Amen.
How could you possibly build a house that could contain me, says the Lord Yahweh? And where could you find a place where I could live? Don't you know that it is my hands that have built my house? And not you.
Thank you very much, Mary. The quick thing there I wanted us to see is God is saying that his throne is so big that he literally is in heaven, but his feet is on the earth, right? And then he goes to say that he cannot stay in a physical house and that he has to stay in a house that he built himself. And the previous scripture we read says that we are the temple. So my question to you is, how big are you? How big are you if God is on the throne and that throne is in heaven and you are on the earth? Well, you're on the earth and his foot is supposed to be on the earth. And he's saying that he's not in a physical temple. He's not in the earthly temple, that no man can use material things of the earth to build a temple wherein he would reside. And yet he has his own temple that he has built with his own hands. And you and I are that temple. So my question again is, how big are you?
To contain him.
To contain wow. God. Yes. Thank you for adding that. Thank you. How big are you to contain all of that? You have heaven and earth inside of you. We're talking about your spirit man, not your physical body. To be that sizable, to house God himself. Yeah. Next verse, please.
Why would you be so stubborn as to close your hearts and your ears to me? You are always opposing the Holy Spirit, just like your forefathers. Which prophet was not persecuted and murdered by your ancestors? Just one. They killed them all, even the ones who prophesied long ago of the coming of the righteous one. Now you follow in their steps and have become his betrayers and murderers. You have been given the law by the visitation of angels, but you have not obeyed it.
Thank you, Marie. So let's take it back to where we were, you know, where it says that Stephen was the one talking to the Israelites at the time when they were about to kill him. And he was saying, I want you guys to take note where he said that they were resisting the Holy Spirit. Take note of the resistance, and that their fathers also did the same thing. So God has made this temple, but somehow we are so inclined to behave the way our fathers behaved. So there's something in our DNA that makes us listen more to other things going on within God's temple, other than the God himself that is supposed to be seated and exalted in our own in this temple that he has built with his own hands. So there's a stubbornness. What is that stubbornness? I want us to realize that these things are real, just like God is a real being and is dwelling inside of you. There are real things that are also going on inside of you that you need to take note of, take notice of. And that's why we said today was going to be a lot of revelation, because when we go to, and it also says that they are inclined, you are inclined to do the same. Did you notice that place? They are inclined, there's an inclination to do the same as their fathers did, rejecting the Holy Spirit. You know, I just want us to note that inclination. So within you and I, there's an inclination to to reject the Holy Spirit. That's why anytime God wants to come in his full magnitude, we're like resisting. We're like, no, this is not for me. No, this is not for me. Yet God is saying that I, in all my loftiness and holiness, have made you in my own, with my own hands, so that you can be big enough to fit me inside of you. There's no grand structure that a human can build to house God. God himself has created a grander structure, which is you. Made you big enough, your spirit man big enough to contain all of that. The God whose throne is in heaven and whose feet is on the earth. He has designed you, fashioned you in such a way to house him. But there's some inclinations that come in the bloodline that are resisting the Holy Spirit. And our fathers did it. There are some things in our bloodline that our fathers did that we are more inclined to do that same thing. Even when the Holy Spirit is presenting himself to us, we resist. So I want us to go to Mark 11, verse 15 to 17. Please, let's take one verse at a time. Let's read verse 15.
On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very much for that. So I want us to take notes. Immediately Jesus got into Jerusalem, he just goes into the temple. Remember, we said in previous teachings that Jesus Christ, everything Jesus did was to reveal the spirit realm to us, to reveal the spirit nature of things. So every action he took was very, very in the spirit. And so he comes into Jerusalem, and the first thing he's inclined to do is to go and see what is happening in his father's temple. We built with those two verses for us to see that we are that temple right now, right? So if you are that temple, my sister, my brother, imagine that Jesus Christ is coming into you now. He's searching the temple, Nadia, right now. He's walking in, and then he sees what is happening. He sees merchants buying and selling. There's a whole business transaction. So here in God's temple now, which is you and I, there's this merchant sitting inside, or there are merchants sitting inside right now, doing buying and selling. There's a whole business transactions. There are business transactions that are going on within the temple of the Lord. And some of us have often wondered, wow, Jesus was really extreme with how he went in that scenario, but you know, he was very upset with how the enemy goes about and does all these transactions within us. You know, so you see him turning tables and turning the benches. These are the platforms on which these transactions take place. And that's why Jesus always said that the zeal of my Father's house has consumed me. It was not a physical house, it's you. He's consumed with you. He's zealous for you. He leaves the 99, remember? He goes after the one. He's crazy about you. I mean, he would die. Scripture says for a good man, somebody would die. You know, somebody would dare die. But while we were yet sinners, while we were into all that trading, he gave his life for us. So he will not be happy to see the enemy do to us the things that he was still doing to us before he died. So Jesus is, you know, he's consumed with seeing God. I mean, God allowed his son to die. How did he feel? You know, like, how did he feel with all the lashes and the insults and the spitting on him and the killing and the pressing and the nakedness and the all of that? Like, to watch that, it was not humans, it was demons doing that. It was the darkness doing that. But look at all that process was because Jesus is is consumed for you and I to be the temple, like the temple that God made. It's like my father made this people in my image so he can dwell in it. So why will the enemy come and be messing with them like this? So let us consider somebody buying something. Why do you buy something? It's because you need it, right? There's a need. You have a need. That's why you're buying something. And before you buy that thing, you feel like there's a group of people who just impulse buy in the moment. They feel like, oh, I need that. But then there's other real needs. Like if you're out of food, you go to buy. So it's a need. It's something that you don't have. You're inadequate in a certain area. You're out. You're short. Basically, you're short. So you need something from a merchant, from the seller, to fill up that which you don't have. And also realize that the seller is also wanting something from you, which is your money. So he's bringing all this. If you want to buy a dress, he will put, you know, all the dresses and all the skirts and other things, because he's willing to get as much money from you as possible. So you just present an array of things. And when you look at each of them, if you have the money, you'll feel like, yes, I need that. You feel short in all those areas, right? Haven't you gone shopping for something else and then you end up living with something else?
Yeah.
Yes. So just see your life like that. In our lives now, there's something we go through. Like for me personally, when I lost my mom, I was a teenager. So I was short. I was always looking for that mom figure. You know, I just needed a mom. You know what? Once I see a woman who was godly, I was interested in me, you know, or I wanted them to be interested in me. It was just something I desired so much, you know, so much so that even when I was pregnant for my daughter, all through my pregnancy, I was always dreaming about my mom, you know, gave birth. When I got married, she wasn't there and all that. So it was something I was short. So because I was short, the enemy was able to area, you know. When I place somebody in that seat, they would do something wrong, you know, or they, you know, I made some mistakes, which I'll get to share as we go on. But I just want us to be very practical today. I want you to just see, is it sometimes you see an Apple, you know, you have an Android, you know, it's even most of them are much better, you know, but there's that thing with Apple that we feel like we need it. For those who are Android users, thumbs up for you. you're not buying what Apple is trying to sell to you, which is awesome, you know. But I just want us to be practical. Like, what are the areas that you feel you're short, and then you're looking for that area to be filled, and then the enemy is presenting all this array of things, and when you see them, you're like, "Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that," you know. And this is what is happening in the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's all this selling and buying taking place. And the merchants are just taking advantage of people. You know. Go ahead, please. The next verse.
Okay, 16. Mm-hmm. I would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts.
Wow. Look at God taking that. And that's what happens when we allow Jesus to come in, you know, and reign over our life, and we actively walk with him. And that's why we keep going to court. That's why we keep repenting. That's why when we notice that there's a merchant trying to sell us something, you know, we resist it. And even when we buy it, we go to the Lord for repentance and we ask him to take it out of us, because Jesus said he will not allow that go on in his temple. But the thing is, even though we are God's temple, there's a lot of this exchange going on in the spirit where we feel we are short, where maybe because of things that have been told us, maybe things that have been done to us, or things we've actually lost, the enemy just magnifies it. You know how the market, when the merchant goes for a target market, you know, you have a whole, it's a whole survey. You survey the group of people you're targeting. You look at their income, how much they make. You even look at how many of them, you know, how many they live in a household. You look at their status. You look at the things, their jobs, the things, their likes. I'm telling you, When a merchant is going after their target market, they look at all the details about that target market to see if what they are offering will really entice that target market. Because they know that if they don't go to that particular target market, they won't be able to make their sales. They won't be able to make money. So I just want you to know that you and I, when we make a decision to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a target for the enemy. There's this criteria, oh, she will not curse. Oh, she will not lie. Oh, she will not do, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. This is my target. I'm going to do this so that I will see her. I will see how she will buy into it. You know, I'm going to send that person to torment her so much. So much that she will just give in. Oh, she's been so single for so long. You know, she's lonely. You know, she's desperate. Okay, you know, I'm just going to present this one that keeps showing up and promising her marriage and never getting to marry her. I'm just going to present this guy, you know. He's going to keep showing up and taking advantage of her. And because she's short in that area, he will come in. And maybe she went up, you know, falling for him and sinning, you know. And then she has, an exchange has taken place. Because every time I buy what the enemy is presenting, I lose something. I sell my birthright. In the physical term, it's my money, right? It's my life source. My heart, I worked for that, my sweat. I spent hours, I labored. So that's my life source. I give in exchange for that thing that I need. So in the spirit realm, I need that guy so much to fill that void. And so whatever it takes to have him, I do not value the holy and magnified presence of the Lord Jesus sitting in my life. I'm like, okay, let me go here. I will give my birthright over so that I can have him be there for me so that I can feel loved, so that I can appease him. But in reality, what all of that means is that there's an exchange going on. There's buying and selling going on. I am trading in the spirit. There's an exchange. I'm giving off something. I'm taking something. I feel short and I'm enriching the enemy because every time I sell my birthright, I have given my crown. I have given my place, my anointing over to the enemy. And that's why the enemy has an entire trophy room where he stores the things that belong to the people of God. We've heard stories about mighty men of God who have walked with the Lord and they fell. And then, you know, they were no longer on the scene anymore. And the lives they would have touched were no longer touched. And the ones they touched go back to sinning or go back to, you know, the world, because that person they looked up to who carried that trophy had lost it and the enemy had taken it away. So because that has gone, so goes the other people that followed them because of that trophy, that because of that gifting they saw in the person. So this is a big thing. I want you guys to know that the whole spiritual realm is such a big thing. Is there such an exchange when we think we're trading on the earth and it's just the way of life where I need something, I need snacks, I go buy my snack. Oh, I need a shoe, I go buy my shoe. I want you guys to know that the spiritual realm, you know, does the same thing. You know, these things don't come from the earth. They really come from heaven. It is what is in heaven that we see manifest on the earth. It's just that it's a more corrupted form. Well, of course, in the spirit too, when the enemy is the one doing the trading, it is corrupted because he wants to take what belongs to us as a body. Next verse, please.
17. And as he taught them, he said, "It is not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers."
Wow. That takes us back to prayer. I just want to go back a little bit to where you read. Thank you, Sally. Where you read about even Jesus chasing out the money changers. You know, the money changers, those ones are just the ones that are facilitating the process, right? You know, you have those people in your life who are not really helping you in any way. You know, they are not telling you the bad thing to do, but really they are supporting the bad thing. You know, they are helping you do these exchanges. You know, they are not the ones saying, okay, you need this man, go for this man. But then when you go for that man, you sometimes you seek their counsel and they're like, oh, I mean, you need it, you know. So they're like money changers. They're just helping facilitate the exchange, you know. So in the spirit realm, you watch, that is not just a person. That is a spirit. That is a real demon. And in the spirit realm, that is the position they hold. And then you have the ones that are selling doves. Scripture said Jesus chased the ones that were selling doves too. We know who the doves represents in scripture. The dove represents the Holy Spirit. So you see, sometimes you have those people in your life which you expect them to they're like your counselors, and you look up to them and you feel they are the voice of reason or wisdom, and you know, they are still from the demonic realm because they are facilitating the exchange. You know, they give you some counsel and it's not godly at all. But these are the stuff that we have in our temple that makes it very hard for us to listen to the voice of God, that makes it very hard for us to access the kingdom of God, to behold the face of God. These are the voice, these are the things that tell us, that's not really a sin, you know. I've heard people say, oh, you know, you repented, you gave your life to Christ in the beginning, you know, you repented, so you don't need to repent again, you know. And we know that the devil can never repent. You know, that's how the dove will sound. Those selling doves will come in that way. You know, they'll quote scriptures for you, but then it's twisted. Because you see, if you don't pay attention, you will not notice the underlying thing there is because the enemy cannot repent, and he knows that when you repent, you remove the legal grounds he has to attack you. And so he doesn't want that to happen. So he keeps you in that state so that in your unrepentant state, you might just get prideful, or you might just stay broken and keep trading. So every time you read scripture where Jesus is doing something or saying something, I want you to just pay attention. The specifics, Jesus is speaking in the spirit. He said only the man of the spirit will understand the things of the spirit. So in growing our spirit man, let us realize that we need to be men and women of the spirit so that we can understand when the man of the spirit, the one that came from heaven himself, only he that comes from heaven gives life. Let us recognize when he is giving us life through his word. Amen. You also read, can you read verse 16 again, please?
Okay. And would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts.
So even the carriers, you know, can you see, I just want you to see that Jesus is very specific about removing every voice that is standing against, you know, the kingdom of God dwelling in your life, that is standing against the temple of God being established, which is you being established in righteousness, in holiness, in purity, in love. See, these are all the things, even the carriers, you know, the agents that carry, you know, I would liken one of the carriers to like the DNA, the DNA we carry. And we read in the previous verse in Acts, we saw that they were inclined. He said, you were inclined. He told the Israelites, Stephen told the Israelites that you are inclined to resist the Holy Spirit just like your fathers did.